You're listening to What She Said, a podcast for bloggers and creatives hosted by me, Lucy Sharif, a freelance journalist living in London. Each week, I interview different women in blogging and the online world, getting their best blogging tips and advice and a little bit of gossip too. Thanks for listening. Hello and welcome to What She Said. We've done almost an entire series together and I'm so excited by it. And I'm even more excited about series two because I have so many awesome guests for you coming up. In this episode, I got to chat to my lovely friend Sarah Ferguson, who runs the beautiful blog Brass Buttons and Confidence. She also has an amazing Instagram account, which is probably where you know her. Earlier this year, we were both on a course together and she went from maybe 5,000 followers. She already had a beautiful Instagram account, but she just bloomed, which is kind of ironic because the course was called Bloom and Grow, and skyrocketed her Instagram account. She really just found her creativity through Instagram. And if you don't follow her, then obviously all of her handles are linked in the show notes, but do go across and give her a follow because only does she have the most inspiring, creative Instagram account out there, but she's also just really a lovely, lovely person. I mean, everybody that I interview is nice, but she's just adorable. She's so nice. We chatted about some of the negative things that come with a big influx of followers on Instagram and how self-doubt can kind of rear its ugly head and the comparison trap and all those good things that we love talking about on here. So I know you'll enjoy this episode. Please let us both know on Twitter or on Instagram. Make sure you give Sarah a follow everywhere and tell her how much you love the episode and how great you think she is. On with the episode.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
Good, thank you. Welcome to the podcast. So exciting to chat to you. Just for anybody who doesn't know who you are, do you want to just introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your blogging journey so far?
My name is Sarah and I have a little blog. It's called Brass Buttons and Confidence, and I also have an Instagram which is just Sarah Louise Ferg. Too many Sarah Louise Fergusons were taken, popular name. So I think I started my blog 4 years ago, and I've had Instagram for maybe longer than that, but of course started with the whole embarrassing selfies and time at uni that when they had all the hideous filters and you have to scroll back really, really far to find all those dingy images. In fact, I think I've archived quite a few of them now, but yeah, things have only recently, sort of this year, started to pick up and become more noticed and stuff. So yeah, it's been a long journey. Long journey, bit of a slog at times, but finally it's kind of starting to pay off some of the work.
It's good. So when you started your blog, what was the kind of purpose? What was the impetus to start it?
Well, fashion. Mm-hmm. The fashion blog. You know, you would like look online and there were so many fashion blogs out at the time. And I was just like, I need to get in on that. That looks like so much fun. And I just was at that point in my life, didn't have a mortgage, didn't have a husband. So all my money just was spent on clothes anyway. So I may as well blog about it. So we just kind of, the images back then were slightly less skillful. Didn't have a tripod, so I used to like, even it's even harder to be seen. No events up here either for us to go to.
Yeah, a lot of the people that have been on the podcast have been, I think the majority are London based, but there's been a couple that have been Leeds. There's a really good kind of travel collective there.
I mean, I can feel it coming northern. I can feel it, like you were saying on Twitter the other day, you know, just need to move up to this neck of the woods.
Yes.
Yorkshire, and you just do that bit closer.
That was obviously one of the biggest stumbling blocks for you, because you've had a really interesting journey. So you've been blogging for a little bit and you've had an Instagram for a little bit, but literally if you don't follow Sarah on Instagram, then obviously after this podcast episode you will, but I'm pretty sure that quite a lot of the people listening know who you are. But we were on the same similar course by the wonderful Sarah Tasker,
friend of the podcast, and I've literally seen you in front of my eyes go from you already had a good strong following, but suddenly it just blew up and your photos just became incredible.
I mean, I've been dying to do the courses for ages, and it was always a case of, will it do anything for me? Will it actually work? And you know, you just need to listen to your gut because it works. Yeah. You know, she knows exactly what she's talking about, and it won't happen overnight, but it just, for me, unleashed some sort of creative demon from within. Started off with, you know, the flowers and things, and then opened up this Photoshop world. You know, the ideas just keep coming. So before that, I mean, I was really keen on photography and stuff, but you know, it was really hard to try and find a style and be noticed. And then the algorithm came in, and then it was even harder. And I think then from going from like loads of pictures to myself, and then I got pregnant, and then it was loads of pictures of my baby, and then I was like, I couldn't focus or find what it was that I wanted to post, if that makes any sense at all, because I'm kind of rambling. But you know, it kind of got just lost in a sea of everyday images, and then I thought, oh, that looks okay, I'll just post that. And then everyone loves a picture of a baby, so you know, they would get quite a lot of likes, and you think, oh, should I be posting more of her? And then, oh, you get conflicted. I know what I want to post, but is that what people want to see?
That's really hard as well. So you wrote a really good post recently about finding your Instagram style, and kind of documented your process, which is really interesting, and I think quite a lot of people would find it quite different to how they do it. And also because when you're an Instagrammer with a certain following, you can't really leave it to chance. You can't leave your creativity to chance. You kind of have to work to find the images, and it was really cool the way that you described it. Sometimes you draw out the kind of idea.
So I've got the effort as well. Yeah, I mean, I spend probably too much time on Pinterest, and I'll maybe have an idea of what it is that I want in my head, and then I'll just type it in, floating books or origami birds Photoshop, and then see what comes up. And then from there, I'll just try and develop an idea, because I've already got the essence of it, but it's just trying to then get a visual, and I guess drawing out the little square of how you would see the image, and then sketching it helps as well. I think I've always just been one of those like visual learners. I've always found it easier to like look at things and learn as opposed to read and learn. I think that it helps me that way, but it's just fun to just doodle as well. You should be doing other things.
I'm just imagining your house is like glitter and
I have to go in the cupboard under the stairs. It's like in a little Harry Potter cave under our stairs. It's really dark. These boxes full of like glitter and paint.
Before we talk about super, super, super positive things to do, you know, that have come out of Instagram and your journey, I did want to talk a little bit about some of the shittier things. if that's okay.
Because there are some.
I feel like it was overnight, but it obviously wasn't. And I guess I've been following you since probably January-ish. When you kind of went over that 10K mark and started really getting noticed and found your style and all the rest of it, what were some of the negative parts of that?
Well, for me, because I got so lucky and everyone pulled together, and you know, Dominique, she shared my profile, and she's got, you know, monumentous followers, and they all did me a total solid, and I managed to get to like way over 10K, and it went straight up to about 11. And I think when people see that happening, they want that for themselves, and quite right, because they put just as much work in as everybody else, and you know, work to be seen and work to produce images and things. And then I think when they see maybe someone doing really well or something going from strength to strength, because they want it for themselves, they'll then try and not replicate it, but try to do the same. It's really difficult to try and get into it, but everyone's got their own individual style. And I think to try and be like somebody else, obviously I don't even know what I'm saying here.
It's a really hard topic to talk about, though,
really
isn't
difficult.
It? Really,
it's really difficult.
Yeah,
but
no,
I think people try to not copy, but they will take inspiration from the things they see you do and try to get some of the success for themselves. But everybody does that. You know, there's no such thing as an original idea. Like, if you've thought, like, you know, as I say, I'll look on Pinterest. So if I then see something, and like, someone else has already had that idea, so I'll develop it to make it my own.
Yeah.
And I don't think that there's anything wrong with that at all, but it's weird, I think, more than anything.
I think when it's you start really hard to see as well.
A lot of stuff that you're doing then appear.
Yeah.
It's strange.
Well, I think it's really hard when you're emulating somebody else before you've found your own style, or you're inspired by someone else, and that's fine, but it can sometimes feel from the person who's being the inspiration, aka you, I can imagine it can sometimes feel a bit intrusive, even if you know that, yeah, it's absolutely fine that they're doing this and they're crediting me and all the rest of it, it can still feel pretty intrusive, I would imagine. Especially, you know, you say that everybody else has worked as hard or whatever, and fair enough that they want to get to the level that you are, but actually you're not really giving yourself enough credit, because I don't work as hard as you on Instagram at all, even remotely. Yeah, it's a really difficult topic to talk about, and I think one of the things that we did in one of Sarah's courses was she'll get us to kind of copy stuff, like you say, on Pinterest. It's not really copying. It sounds really terrible. Before you can find your own style, sometimes you need to kind of start with something, don't you?
You do. You need to be inspired by something in order to then develop your own ideas, which is why, you know, there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. It's just bizarre, because I think it's difficult for me to get my head around people wanting to be like me. Yeah. I think that's where it all stems from, because I can't imagine them ever being like, why do you want photos like mine? Well, there are so many other people with better images. Why don't you want pictures that are like theirs? Why would you want pictures like mine? But then I've been on the other end of it as well. You know, I've been accused of copying from somebody, and it then threw me, and it was a horrible feeling, and I knew that 100% hadn't. I don't think it was so much the image, it was more the caption, but I knew that I absolutely hadn't copied this person, and I was being accused of this thing. And I thought, oh my God, if that's how, you know, if you were to then go and accuse someone of copying you, and this is how they would feel, I would never want that on anyone. It's just horrible. Yeah. It's an awful feeling. You know, if they genuinely think, oh, like, I love their image, I'm going to try and create something like that. You can't copyright every single image you do on Instagram and stop being like, you know, you are not allowed to you know, recreate this for yourself. That's ridiculous. You can't do that.
I think it's when you've got a very distinct style.
Mm-hmm.
When you've got a really distinct style, and especially your photos are really creative and use Photoshop, and I would feel exactly the same as you. Just feel a little bit icky, but also feel like, okay, well, it's not a crime as such, so I kind of have to suck it up.
To begin with, it did feel really icky, but I think just more because I had such a hard time of why were these people wanting to have images like mine? Because it just, you know, you get to this 10K, and that, like, 10K is a lot. It's a lot of people. You know, there are people who have 10 times that, hundreds of times that, and I don't even know if I could cope with that many. I think I'd be really weirded out, because even from that, you then, you know, you get messages from people asking about your edits and what camera you use, and unfollows as well, you know, with these. I mean, Sarah said it, when you get an influx, you also get like a mass unfollowing, because, you know, they may see the first, you know, 6 or 9 images that you post and think, oh yeah, I'm going to follow them because I love all Dominique's work, and if she's saying to follow them, then I'm going to do it. But then if I then post something that they didn't like, then they'll just unfollow. So I mean, I had one day I lost about 35 within 3 hours. I'd posted and then 35 followers went just like that, and you know, and that's like, oh shit, you know, you've got this 10k that you feel responsible for. You need to be like, right, well, this is getting big, I need to be producing stuff that these guys like, you know, that want them to stick around. I don't want to like be above 10k and then for one day to go back down to like 4 figures and be like 9998 for someone to be like, what happened there?
Would you lose your swipe up function? Would they just take it away from you?
I think they probably would. They're pretty, you know, they're pretty cutthroat, these Instagram gods.
With that in mind, now that you're at a 10K, you're above 10K now, but now that you've hit that kind of milestone, what kind of pressures are you feeling when you're creating?
I think it's just, like yesterday, for instance, I always try to do the hashtag project for and create something, and it's so lovely when everyone comments, and I get such nice comments on them all saying, you know, this really needs to be featured, like, you deserve to be featured. And I've never had anything close to being featured yet, but I then feel like every Sunday, like, oh right, okay, I have to put some effort into this one, I have to make it better, was last week or I really have to try. And when it was last week, I think it was the Imagine. And I had so many lovely like DMs from people being like, this week was made for you. Before I'd even seen what the project was, people were like, this is made for you this week. Because, you know, your images lately have just been this. Like, so many that you could have submitted already. And, you know, I can't wait to see what you produce and stuff. And I think, oh, God.
The pressure.
What if I do something and it's really rubbish? And then last night's one totally bombed. Like, for the past, I think the past 3 or 4 images have had in excess of 1,200, 1,500, almost 2,000 likes. Last night's got like 500.
Was that your
the
WHP Great Adventure?
Yeah, Great Outdoors one.
That picture, yeah. It's so beautiful.
It's not unreal at all. But then I think, you know, there's been so many issues with Instagram the weekend. Mm. And just before we started chatting, one of my friend's accounts has just disappeared. It's just gone.
Oh, no.
Vanished. And, you know, our profile's there, but there's no images, no follower count, no following count.
You turned on 2-step authentication.
Yeah, I did mine. I got a prompt from Instagram to turn mine on like a week or so ago.
Oh, wow.
So I did it then. But never noticed anything happen. Mm. Nothing's touched with happened yet. Fingers but crossed. Everyone that I know it's happened to so far, everything's been restored.
Mm.
But I think they've been out for about 2 or 3 days before they've gotten everything back.
Stressful. Yeah, so anyone who's listening, turn on your 2-step authentication. Is that how you say it? Authentication?
Authentication?
Am I adding extra syllables?
I think you're asking and adding an if. Authentication.
Turn that thing on in your, go to your settings and there's something in security, the thing that says 2-step before it, and protect your Instagram account because, it was hacked, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's something to do with email addresses.
Something to do with Russia, apparently. Mm, I saw it was on the Telegraph today or yesterday, I think.
Oh, what? Yeah. Instagram, the Telegraph.
I know. It's crazy. Loads of celebrity accounts were hacked. And I was like, yes, celebrity accounts, but also Hannah Argyle. You know.
Yeah. I know. My friend Alison, the Owen Life, she's the one that's gone down at the minute. And she's another, you know, she makes her living from her Instagram and her blog and stuff. And, you know, I think that must be terrifying because we all say it, you know, at any point they could just be like, well, you know, you haven't signed anything. You don't pay for this service. It's free. Yeah. We could take it away at any time.
Dun, that dun, leads dun. Us on to that ominous, honestly leads us on to the fact that if Instagram went away tomorrow, what would you do?
I'd get on the phone to Sarah and I'd get her to make her own version. To the
That's a really good answer.
Yeah. No, please, Sarah.
Please. Sarah Graham. Yeah, I'd be up for that. Mm. But you've been blogging a lot more, I've noticed as well.
Yeah. I think it's all come, it all feels like it's more organic and it's more natural now. Before it kind of felt a bit forced. And, you know, you'll know yourself, like when you've had a baby, you know, your life is just baby. Mm. And I was full of good intentions about, I mean, you've been fab with it, your updates and stuff. I was full of like, going to be what is in my baby bag and where to go with the baby and what the baby's wearing, and I just could not be bothered with any of it. I just thought, no, like, she's napping, the last thing I want to do is write about her, like, <I'm> asleep. Now I've got things to do, I need to cook, I need to clean. I never really got into any of that, and then as she got older and I started to get more into this, the posts on Instagram came, and then as the posts started to grow, then the topics for writing came about more easily. So it felt less like, let's force a title and then write something.
So when in blogging, specifically thinking about blogging, what have been the biggest growth boost to your blog? Has that been Instagram?
It's, you know, the majority of my following comes from Instagram. I think Blogloving, there's followers on Blogloving, but I don't think that's accurate. I mean, I think it was the same when you got the Blogloving app, you would follow blogs so they would follow yours back. It wasn't really like they were reading it.
Yeah.
So they you can class them as readers or visitors to your site or anything. But I also recently made the move from Blogger to WordPress.
Have you? Brilliant.
That's made a massive difference.
Has it? Interesting. How so?
and just being able to do what you want with it, SEO, because, you know, it has the function and I can now get green lights on my posts before, like with a blogger, I had absolutely no idea about or the readability or anything like that.
So what you're talking about for the readers is the green lights are from the Yoast all-in-one SEO plugin.
So you'll get green, amber or red on terms of, you know, your searchability or your readability. On the post, and it takes, I mean, it takes a lot longer than it used to, but it's quite satisfying once you get to the end and think, yes, I've got like less than 10% of my sentences are there's not too many words in my paragraphs.
I love it when they one of the things in Yoast, when so you have as Sarah mentioned, the searchability and readability, and you have like a red, amber, green for both of them. Ideally, you obviously want green, but for the readability, I always say take it with a pinch of salt, because obviously if your style is a lot of passive voice, you get marked down for that. But one of my favourite things is when it says you've scored highly in the readability, Fleisch's readability test or whatever.
Yeah. Yes. I actually Googled that to find out what that was. And there's like words in it that I just have no idea about, like slugs. So, I have no idea what slug whole slug thing is.
It's something to do with your URL, I think, but I don't really understand it either. I hope you're changing your meta descriptions as well.
Yeah, sure.
Because it's important, because now on Facebook, do you promote any of your posts through Facebook?
I've got a Facebook page, so I mean, anytime an Instagram post goes up, it'll go on the Facebook, and then I can share from the blog on the Facebook as well.
If you don't tweak your meta description, sorry, not your metadata, which you can do in Yoast, it will just pull through the first few sentences or whatever. So you can't tweak your preview in Facebook anymore.
Because you can select the image you want as well, can't you? It doesn't have to be the same on every platform. Like if you were posting to Twitter and then to Facebook, like you could have a different image. It would obviously have to be contained in the post, but it didn't have to be the same.
Yeah, are you using like a buffer or something?
So it just says like what thumbnail.
In Yoast, yes.
Yeah.
I don't bother changing any of it.
No.
I mean, who's got time for that?
There's so many little tabs.
Yeah, I can't be doing with that. I don't go past the first tab. I haven't got time for that.
Stressful enough trying to get a green light, never mind checking what other tabs might be flashing at you.
So on the flip side, what has been, and you've kind of already touched on it, what's been something that's held you back in blogging?
Do you mean like in terms of what stopped me writing or what?
Yeah, anything really. Anything that's been a bit of a stumbling block.
Do you know, I think location's a big thing. Because I don't live in a city. I don't even live in a town. I live in, you know, it's a big village. There's no big stores, there's nowhere that has, you know, fancy openings or places, like there's a lack of places to review if you were going somewhere. There's a lot of stumbling blocks for that kind of thing, and then also for the people, for being noticed around here for this kind of thing as well, because we're all kind of, I mean, the Borders is probably a little bit behind in some ways to the rest of the world catching up. So to say to someone down here, oh, you write a blog, like, what's a blog? What does that entail? Type thing, you know. So, if you're not a farmer or a joiner, or you know, you don't get on the train and go and work in Edinburgh, saying to someone that you were, you know, you wanted to make it writing a blog, and that was how you wanted to work, people would be a bit like, huh?
Really?
What's that? Yeah, but as soon as you get to Edinburgh, they get it. But we are maybe 40 minutes away from Edinburgh. So even, you know, there are events and things that go on up in there. But again, there's like so many other bloggers and Instagrammers and all those kind of people, creatives within Edinburgh, that will be first pick for to review things or to be asked for work or for jobs or for events. Especially if you're, you know, if someone was to search for me and my location is Scottish Borders, not Edinburgh. If they looking for bloggers in Edinburgh, I doubt that I will be one of the ones that come up.
Thank God for the internet, though, hey?
We do have the internet here, I promise.
Blogging isn't your full-time job. Would you like it to be your full-time job?
I would love it to be. It's been a dream as long as I've been doing it, you know, to be successful at it. I don't know. It still baffles me how people manage to do it. I understand how they do it, but how they manage every month to be able to to bring in an income. I'm in awe of how far they do it. And I think I'm nosy as well. I want to know how they do it. Tell me your secret.
I think that's one of the, but it's funny that you say that, because when I was talking to Fifi, Whimsy and Grey, a few episodes, mm-hmm. I think it's episode 4 or 5, I'll link to it in the show notes. We were talking about transparency in blogging and bigger bloggers not sharing their knowledge, or actually even just smaller bloggers not sharing their knowledge. And it's something that whenever anybody asks me anything, I will always tell them completely honestly. I'll tell anyone. Because I remember when I started and nobody would tell me, and I felt so disheartened for so long because I didn't mm-hmm. know, like, exactly what you said. What's the secret? Mm-hmm. Like, how do you do it? No, literally, like, actually, practically, how do you do it? I think that's a really big issue. And I think I can totally understand why it's a lot harder for you, because for me, I can go to networking events and mm-hmm. that's really been a big game changer for me over the past couple of years, is coming back to London, going to the networking event. You know, you get drunk with people, they tell you the truth, even if they don't want you to.
Yeah.
They don't really want to. And that's made a massive difference. But
mm-hmm.
when you're further afield and you're not getting that FaceTime.
Yeah, you need to dig for it yourself a little bit. You kind of need to throw yourself out there a bit more. Like, I will have to email, when I got my media kit made up, I just spent so much time on Google searching PR companies and the names of the PRs for different brands, and would just be completely brass neck about it and send them emails and be like, look, work with me, please.
I think that's a really good thing, though. You're doing exactly what every other blogger, jobbing blogger, is doing. You're just
mm-hmm.
doing it kind of off your own back, as opposed to someone telling you how.
Yeah. I remember once, like right back at the start, I messaged a blogger that I absolutely adored, sent her an email and just asked for some advice. Mm-hmm. I wasn't asking for, you know, how do you get all the free stuff? There was nothing like that. It was like, you know, it was an admiration post. It was, you know, really like your blog. Like, how did you get so, you know, what did you do? Like, did you just continually do this? Is there any tips that you could give someone that's starting out? And they just didn't reply. Mm-hmm. There was no response. It was the email address that was on their blog to use, and they encouraged, you know, people to get in touch, and I did, and got nothing back. And then I just thought, well, why? What's the point in bothering? Like,
did that put you off ever asking anyone else?
Yeah, because I didn't ask anyone else after that.
That's didn't really, email that's anyone really else. Sad.
Yeah, but then I kind of looked at it and I thought, you know, this girl's, she's younger than I am. I just kind of looked at it of more circumstances, like, she's younger, she's probably, you know, she's caught up in the thick of this wonderful blog, she's doing so well, she's probably just not got the time to sit and go through my tedious
she's a bit of a douche for ignoring her reader, because whenever anybody comments on my blog, whenever anybody emails me, whenever anybody comments on my Instagram or DMs me or on Twitter, I reply to every single person, and I appreciate that I don't have the same level of followers that some other people do. But even if you look at Sarah or Dominique, they do the same, and or Hannah, they all do the same, and that's because they appreciate their readers, and all three of those people have got such an engaged following of fiercely loyal followers. So don't give her the benefit of the doubt. Maybe she didn't have time, but also she should have made time.
It would have been nice. I know if someone had emailed me, I would have tried to have got back, provided I'd gotten the message. Who knows, it might have gone to her junk email.
Maybe,
you know, that could happen to anyone. If you message them and you don't get it, you go to the junk box and
you're so nice. Maybe. And I guess that's probably going to make you be quite the opposite when people contact you.
I guess she was another Scottish blogger as well, so I guess I was super interested to know, because I was finding it so difficult, again, being, you know, up here and there being a bit of a lack of things going on for bloggers, like, how she'd done it. You know, you're going to these events, you've been invited to things in London, and at that point didn't see much difference between the images that she was posting and the images that I was. And I just thought, I wonder what it is, the hook here, what's but that's the thing, we've been, all the head offices for everything are in London or down south, you know, that's where the headquarters and the hubs for all of these big brands and PR companies, it's where everyone is.
It is easier in London, because you can get yourself out to meet a PR or go to a networking event or whatever.
There's an abundance for them for drinks companies up here.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Whiskey and gin and all on the like for a distillery, you'd be put in.
Coach loads of Americans all.
Yeah, they get really into it, like really into the history and the clans and the and the names. Because everyone's cousin's auntie's brother's wife was a McDonald, so you know they've got roots in Scotland, and you know they're like, do you know Ian McDonald? And I'm like, yeah.
To be honest, I got really into it too. I was like, brilliant. Mm-hmm. There must be some Scottish in me somewhere. Let's find it. I must be part of some clan. So one of the other things that I wanted to ask you was, how do you manage your Instagram in terms of gallery curation?
To view it before I post it type thing.
Do you plot things out, or do you have such a strong sense of your own style that you can...
Sometimes. I mean, I used to be really religious at plotting them out. I think, you know, watch what colours and things that I posted. That was before I kind of started all the Photoshop heavy edits, because it went really blue for a while. So I wouldn't have posted like anything that would have been yellow or anything like right smack in the middle, because I would just think, oh God, how garish. Isn't it right at all? But the apps, what were the apps that I used? Is it Unum? UNUM?
Yeah.
And it gives you some stats and stuff on it as well. It tells you like what best time of day to post it. I don't know how, you know, reliable it is. I didn't really go by that. I don't think it really works either. You know, you could post at one time of day and it go really well. Do the same the following week and it just not work. So,
do you know, I find that also. I know that some people post exactly the same time every day, but it doesn't make a difference for me.
I mean, I've posted at all times of day. I used to post 4 times a day.
Wow.
Because it would just take pictures of Ren's face and then post them on Instagram. Be like, oh, look at my baby. And that was it. But it's now once a day, if that. I used to do twice. I used to do once in the morning and once at night.
Yeah.
It's now just at night, between sort of 6 and 8 p.m. Once Ren's in bed, once I've got time to engage properly, scroll through, see what's happening, reply to comments, all that kind of thing. And then that's it done.
So that takes us quite nicely onto, in terms of engagement and your following and community and all that sort of lovely stuff. You've created a few different hashtags, but obviously the one that I'm thinking of is botanical body hair, which you've written about as well. I remember when you created it and I was like, oh, this is amazing, and I'm such a hairy person. I was like, this is something I can get on board with, but I'm just not very creative, so I still haven't. Who did you create it with? Unfound Door?
Yeah, Patricia. Yeah, I'm a friend of her, and she's in Italy. She stays in Italy with her family. And it came about from Bloom and Grow, from Sarah's course. Every week we were given, you know, homework to do, and the homework that week was unexpected. So you had to create an image that was unexpected, involving flowers, obviously, as well. So you could have poured milk from the bottle, but instead of the milk was petals, or look in your coffee cup and there wasn't actually coffee, it was flowers or whatever else. And I just thought, I tried something with a wine glass and I wasn't happy with it. And then one morning I was getting dressed and had to do the necessary. I was wearing a vest or something and I needed to shave my armpits. And I just thought, oh, imagine if that was just flowers. That would be nice. We needed it. And then I was like, I am going to make a beard of flowers, and I'm just going to sit with my razor and my toothbrush and say something about how ridiculous it is. So I just did it. I sat in my towel in my hair and glued these petals to a bit of paper and then like tied it around my head with some wool. Took various shots of it because it kept falling off, and eventually got one that was okay. And then when I posted it, Patricia just thought it was hilarious. She just thought, this is so funny and poignant, and I get it. And then she responded by posting her own version, and it just became this thing. And at that point we didn't have the hashtag, but someone had messaged us like, you know, you need to make this a hashtag. So we threw about some ideas, and eventually, because we had like floral fuzz or hairy horticultural something, can't remember, but botanical body hair was the one that stuck. So that was what we went with, and then people just went with it, and we've had so many like lovely stories from people, and it means different things to everybody. Like, it's not one, doesn't mean one thing to one person. You know, we've had people that have been battling with cancer that have lost their hair, and it meant something to them, and people that have had, you know, babies and that have been left with stretch marks, and they used the flowers to highlight where those were. And it's not just about, you know, shaving your legs or having a moustache that you need to wax. I mean, everyone has these hang-ups and things, but I think more often, you know, we're told that it's not pretty or it's not beautiful, when who gets to decide that? You should be the one to decide, you know. So if you're happy with it being there, then you should be allowed to have it there. If you're not, take it off. It's entirely your prerogative. Nobody gets to say otherwise. It's your body, your rules. Yeah.
It's so cool. It's such a cool hashtag.
I think it'll probably slow down for Christmas, though. I can't see very many people putting a holly bush anywhere near these areas. It probably could be quite prickly. I don't know, for myself, I mean, I usually go through September till about March and I don't shave my legs. So
same, yeah. Well, it's that. I think I'll probably go from July to... No, I don't. I did shave my legs once or twice in July.
Move to Scotland and never have to do it.
Don't tempt me. I'm really trying to make my husband move out of London, so we'll see. Thank you so much for being part of the podcast, Sarah. Where can everybody find you online?
So you can find me on Instagram at Sarah_Louise_Ferg, or you can find me on Twitter at brassbuttons_C, and then my blog is brassbuttonsandconfidence.com.